Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Get Her Done. And if you don't know how to spell that, it is G-I-T-R-D-O-N-E. At least that's the way Larry the Cable Guy spells it. Get her done. Let me read you some quotes. And I'm going to talk today about ignorance or stupidity, or how sometimes people, if you're not educated, you think, well, what good am I going to do? I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to college. You know, I don't know anything. I'm just a simple person, blue-collar worker, just, you know, trying to make the best of it. And all these sophisticated people think they're all that. What could God possibly do with me? Socrates said this: there is only one good, knowledge, and one evil, ignorance. Aldous Huxley said, most ignorance is vincible ignorance. We don't know because we don't want to know. Robert Greene Ingersoll, who was an atheist until he died, the inspiration of the Bible depends upon the ignorance of the gentleman who reads it. Now think about that. Daniel Boorstin said, the greatest obstacle to discovering the shape of the earth, the continents, and the oceans was not ignorance, but the illusion of knowledge. Confucius said, real knowledge is to know the extent of one's ignorance. And then the great theologian Jimmy Buffett said, is it ignorance or apathy? Hey, I don't know and I don't care. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to stick to the New Testament today. There's some stuff in the Old Testament as well. But as you read the Bible, especially where Jesus got started, and Jesus himself, Jesus was a blue-collar worker. He was basically uneducated, yet when he opened his mouth, he spoke a lot of amazing things. But I think it is fascinating the way he was born. You say, well, but he could have gotten caught in Bethlehem. There was no room. He could have been from a really good family, a real important family, and they just were in a bad spot when the baby was born, like being born in a cab or something. And that's where he got born. But then he got back to normalcy like everybody's supposed to be. He started out in a barn, you know, almost raised in a barn himself. I mean, you're talking about a blue-collar family, carpenters. These are not sophisticated, complicated people. And Jesus started there. I think he had a connection with all kind of people. He could go in front of kings, but he could go in front of the poorest of the poor. And he said things in a way that anybody could understand. Now, I don't say this to be demeaning or belittling of myself, but I'm not the smartest guy on the planet. I went to seminary. I went to college. I got out of college. I guess that's a good way of putting it. I got out. I wasn't a 4.0, you know, I got out of seminary. Seminary was a really tough time for me. Greek almost killed me. I enjoy studying these things now. But I don't have this overwhelming desire to learn information in order to intimidate someone. And sometimes I think there are people who learn and they amass information and knowledge so that when they speak, they can blow somebody out of the water. Jesus, God in a man God, could have blown everybody out of the water. But if you watch him and follow him through the scriptures, he is so careful. And he says exactly the right thing at exactly the right time to whoever he is speaking to. He is very careful not to get way over their head, and he could have. Now, he said some things that even the disciples said, well, we don't get it. And he said, well, one day you will, but this is the story. And he'd give them parables. It wasn't that it was complicated. It was just it was so amazing, the truths that he was teaching, that they may not have gotten it at the time. But Jesus broke it down. One of the goals I have, and I think anybody who's trying to communicate the truth of the gospel or of the Bible, is even if you have all the information in the world, you have to communicate it so simply that a child can understand it. You know, they accuse Billy Graham of this. Well, you listen to Billy Graham, he just says the same thing over and over and over again. He just shares the gospel. What else is there? Now, you can put a lot of things around it, but it is about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. And then you can tell stories about that that point to him from the Old Testament pointing forward, New Testament pointing back. But the bottom line, it's about Jesus. And the book says don't get away from the simplicity that's in the gospel. So by the time we're done here, I'm not saying if you're ignorant, stay ignorant. And by the way, there's a huge difference in being stupid and being ignorant. If you're stupid, you're not even smart enough to know you're ignorant. And if you don't know what that means, you're stupid. To be stupid is just to be stupid. To be ignorant is to not know something. Okay? I mean, for instance, I am completely ignorant to the point of being stupid about sports stuff. If you're one of these guys, for instance, that gets in a room with a football game going, remember back in 83 when so-and-so and so-and-so hit and, you know, all these, I'm like, what are you filling your brain with that for? They can't quote one scripture, but they can tell you how many home runs in 78, you know, at whatever World Series. Guys sometimes have a way of intimidating each other and ended up on the top of the heap by who can quote the most stats. I could care less. Look it up. Why do I want to carry that around in my head? But to some people, that's important. Okay? To be ignorant is just to not know. Now, if you start out ignorant and you realize you're ignorant of something and you have a desire to learn, you can grow. And when you start out, when you become a Christian, the whole process is about growing up. If you're not growing up, I'm not saying you're stupid, but it's pretty ignorant not to grow up when you can. And you're going to be lost in a lot of situations and trapped at a certain place in growth. It's like a kid that wants to learn how to read, and the parents say, no, you're out in the fields, we need some more help in the fields, and that kid never learns how to read, and the frustration, and finally given the opportunity, down the road somewhere, someone says, I'll teach you to read, and they're just voracious in their approach to learning and trying to figure out how to get ahead and learn some more information. So you'll get a hunger and a thirst for these things along the way somewhere, but don't use that information to intimidate someone and use it, you know, ignorance turned into arrogance is not going to help anybody. So learn it for the sake of helping somebody. In Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is picking his disciples, he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. They were fishermen. I mean, these are not, what are you doing out fishing if you're so smart? You know, this is how these guys worked hard to make a living as fishermen. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets, and they followed him. So fishermen there. Matthew 11, a few pages over. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. And sometimes the smartest people on the planet, you start talking about Jesus, and they're too smart to get saved. They know too much. They're so smart, they won't listen. And they start all this argument, and Jesus even says to the Father, I thank you that you revealed them to babes. In other words, people who are teachable. These young kind of approach to the thing, just simply say, I hear it, I get it, I understand it. Now, there's a difference in being simple and being ignorant too. John 17, 14 and following. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Now, here's his answer. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Now, listen to this phrase. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory. If you're just trying to say whatever you say, and it's not for God's glory, it's for your glory. You're trying to impress, and I grew up around preachers my whole life, and I've been in sermons where I didn't know what the heck the guy had said. It sounded real impressive, but I couldn't do anything with it in my life because I don't know what he said. Big words, impressive, intimidating, and all that. Like, wow, he must be educated. But, like, but nobody in the room is going to know what to do with it. Oh, our preacher's real eloquent. We don't understand him, but he's real eloquent. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And he goes on and talks about that some more. Sometimes I'll have people every once say, well, you know, I listen to your sermons and, you know, heard you on the radio, whatever they say, and say, it's just a bunch of scripture. I'm like, yeah, and what else is there? Who's interested in my opinion? My job is to tell you what God said. If it's confusing or you don't quite get it, and let's break it down a little more and explain it. I don't think anybody's interested in what I have to say. I think they want to hear from God. So let's quote him and let him get the glory, because this is what's going to change your life. I'm not going to change your life. He's going to change your life, and he uses the word to do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and following. And this is at Pentecost, where all heaven breaks loose, basically. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? I mean, it's almost like calling a bunch of rednecks. These guys are from nowhere. look, are not all those who speak Galileans? In other words, how could they possibly know these languages? And everybody, it says, didn't just hear it in their own language, but if they were from a certain part of a country, they heard in their own dialect. It was broken down even more. There's no way these redneck men know our languages. How is this happening? And sometimes God will use the most ignorant appearing person, uneducated person, to whip out some game, and everybody go, there's no way this is anything but God, because this man or woman is not educated, they're not impressive in any way. God gets all the glory because he has spoken through you. So don't be down on yourself. Get on with it. If you're not growing up, learn what you need to learn in order to grow personally and have something to share with somebody else. But God may pick you because of where you are. And sometimes God takes the lowliest of the low out of nowhere and raises that person up to a place of prominence and says, you know what? It's because you were humble. It's because you weren't trying to be all that, that I realized I could trust you and use you, and you wouldn't be speaking your own words for your own glory, but you'd speak my word for my glory. So stop making excuses. Well, I'm not educated and God can't use me. I'm reading you tons of examples in here where God chose nothing but uneducated and ignorant, appearingly, obviously, in some cases, ignorant people that he used. In Acts chapter 4, and it's funny, Peter, he must be the most ignorant guy in the Bible. He gets cited a lot. A miracle has taken place. They call these guys in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, and here's the phrase, this is what makes all the difference. Then Peter, and this phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit. You give me somebody who is not very articulate, not the sharpest pencil in the bag, whatever you want to use to describe it, but filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can take the planet. Because they're not full of themselves, they're full of God, and they'll get out of the way and let him speak. And you can't even get up without saying, God, I can't do this. There's no way anything worth happening is going to happen today in my life if unless I get out of the way and let you live not just in me, but through me. Take over and get filled. The verse says, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's this constant letting him pour into your life. And if you get full, you start to overflow. As you overflow, you're going to hit other people around you. And this is what was going on with Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This is a fisherman going at these high-powered, educated, religious guys. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, I don't think he was trying to get appointed to one of their offices. He wasn't schmoozing with the rulers. Well, how are you, gentlemen? And so nice to see you. And if there's a spot here for me someday, you know, I've been with Jesus and I could compromise and water it down a little bit if that would make me acceptable. He's like, whoever, whatever, you know, here's the deal. You crucified him. I got nothing to lose. This is my life. So he goes at him. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, okay, the first thing they perceive, they're bold. These guys walk in here and spit it out, no apologies, put it on us. This is what they believe. This is what they say. They see the boldness of Peter and John and perceive that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. And then one of the coolest phrases in the whole book, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Are you ever accused of being bold, uneducated, untrained, and the fact that you must have been spending some time with Jesus? And that's the explanation of your life. Now see, you say, well, I'm not untrained and uneducated. You walk out these doors and tell somebody you believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, that Jesus was born of a virgin, just that. They're going to think you're one of the biggest nuts on the planet. You're the most ignorant thing that walked in their office. Are you crazy? That is foolishness. And that's what the Bible acknowledges that it is. The world, no matter how many degrees you got on your wall, you are nuts if you tell somebody you believe this. So if you're thinking you're not uneducated and untrained to the world, that's exactly what you sound like. So you better get over being embarrassed and say, well, I don't want to tell anybody I believe that. I'll look foolish. you're going to look foolish standing before Jesus one day explaining why you didn't spit it out. And one of the things Peter and these guys prayed for was boldness, that they wouldn't back off of it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting the biggest Bible you can and going in somebody's office and just slamming it up against their head, you know, as it were, and overwhelming them. The book also talks about speaking the truth in love. So you don't have to be offensive in presenting the gospel. It can do all the offending it needs to do all by itself. No matter how lovingly you present the gospel, it's going to be offensive. And you're going to be offended in the way they respond to you sometimes, because they are going to think that you're nuts. But they saw this boldness of Peter and John. And let me go back here and give you a couple of words. The word uneducated means unlettered, illiterate, unlearned. But the word untrained, the Greek word, and I don't give you a lot of these, but here's the Greek word, idiotes. It's where we get the word idiot. And it's translated a private person, or by implication, an ignoramus. Now, that is a technical word in a Bible dictionary. You think that's something you had when you were a kid? Ignoramus is a full-blown, legitimate word. These guys called them uneducated, ignoramus idiots. That's what they were perceived as. Now, if you got a problem with pride and trying to be all whatever, you're not going to survive long in the kingdom trying to share the gospel. Because if somebody calls you an idiot, you're stupid, you're an ignoramus, that's not going to go over very big. You're going to have to get past yourself sometime, sooner or later, and say, God, this isn't about what they think about me. It's about what they think about you and what they do with you. Because whether they like me or not, they won't be thinking about whether they like me or not in hell. Now, see, all I got to do is say that right there and say, there he's getting politically incorrect. He's going to talk about hell. I brought my friend and he mentioned hell. They'll never come back. You know what? I'm not so worried about you coming back here. I'm worried about you making it there. And I'd rather have you a little offended or upset with me now, call me an idiot now, than call me an idiot for eternity for not spitting it out and telling you the truth. Francis Bacon said this, boldness is a child of ignorance. I thought that was fascinating. Boldness is a child of ignorance. Sometimes the more simple approach we take and the less we have to lose, the more bold we'll be. But we start getting smart and calculating, and I don't want to do that because this would mean that and I could lose my job. You know what? When you're already at the bottom of a totem pole, there's nothing to lose. And sometimes we get so elevated, we get so promoted, we get so far up in a system that we just can't anymore because it'll cost us too much. And you say, well, I don't want to be offensive. There are ways to do this even at work. And if you're really living it, you'll find an opportunity to share it. And if you're sharing it and not living it, nobody's going to buy it anyway. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there's another great little phrase down in 1 Corinthians 4:38. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. It's in there, right out of the Bible. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, if you decide you're ignorant and you don't want to learn, you don't want to grow up and get on with it, then just be ignorant. Some other people are going to keep moving. Now to that, let me read you something out of 2 Timothy 2, and this is Paul writing to Timothy. And by the way, Paul is one of the most educated guys ever. So I'm not, demeaning education. God picked a Peter, but he also picked a Paul. And Paul went in, and with that education, with those credentials, he was able to do something. But you still see the same boldness in Paul. He was stripped of everything. It cost him everything. He was somebody and went from somebody in a matter of days to nobody. He was such a nobody, the Jewish people didn't want him, and even the Christians who were afraid he was sneaking up on them didn't want him. He had nobody. He was stripped of everything. And yet he stuck with it, he was bold, and God used him. So Paul, writing to Timothy, this is one of the things he says in chapter 2, verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit. Don't sit around arguing about how many angels can dance on the head of a needle. Stupid stuff. Can God make a rock bigger than he can pick it up? That all sounds very interesting. You're wasting your time. You're not going to answer those questions. He says, don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. But verse 15, be diligent, or study. The King James Version says study. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you go to a job, they give you, if it's a big enough company, they give you a policy. What do they call it? Some kind of manual or a employee handbook. Now, whether they tell you this or not in HR, when they give you that employee handbook, you are responsible for everything in it, right? And if you do something stupid at work and go, oh, well, I didn't know, you know what they'll whoop out on you? The employee handbook. And say, well, you should have read the handbook because you're fired. Because you are responsible for the information. This is the employee handbook. And you say, well, I just don't have time. You are responsible for everything in the book. So saying, well, I'm just ignorant, I'm not whatever, whatever. You may not absorb it all, digest it all, figure it all out, but you better take a stab at it because one day you'll have to answer for it. And there are things, there are sins of omission, things you're not doing, you don't even know you're not doing. But if you'd read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit would say, hey, what about that? I've been wanting to talk to you about that. It's in the book. It's not just some preacher's opinion. Right there it is. And then you decide, are you going to correct it? See, if you don't know, you say, you know, it's that old deal, well, we'll ask for forgiveness, not permission. You know, I wouldn't be pulling that one on God. That may work on mom and dads and here and there. Don't try that one on God. If you don't know something, for a while you can say, I don't know that. But when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, you can't plead ignorance anymore. And the book says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, or he who knows what is right to do and does it not, that is sin. So some people are terrified to read the handbook because then they know what it says. And you find something like, oh, I don't, you start, you know, holding your ear, I don't want to know that because now I can't do that anymore. But it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. So if you're ignorant, don't be stupid and stay ignorant. Let's find out what it says. Let's study. Let's grow. Let's have boldness, even if we're perceived as untrained and idiots, literally. Let's at least act like people who have spent some time with Jesus and get accused of that. And let him work in and through us. And as the cable guy would say, get her done.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for these examples you've given us where you use the simplest and the most ignorant, and then all the way to the sophisticated, Lord, but anybody you chose and that decided to be used by you, Lord, and would follow and trust you, they were humble, and they allowed you to get the glory, Lord, and they spoke what you told them to say and got out of the way. Father, I pray for any of us who have tried to plead ignorance along the way, Lord, and act like we just don't know but not even bother to find out. I pray that you would give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, with the promise that we'll be filled, and that as we are filled along the way, Lord, with not just information to impress somebody and overwhelm somebody, Lord, but with information that has led to transformation in our own lives, that that could be used, Lord, in somebody else's life to point them to you, and that they could see you in and through us, living in and through us, Lord, along the way. Thank you for these people, Lord, these individuals, for their desire to know you and to make you known. And I pray that you would use them where they work, where they live, and especially for anybody, Lord, who doesn't even know you today, that's trying to get her done by themselves. I pray that today they'd reach out, as it were, the hands of their heart and say, God, I've tried everything. I've been so smart that now I feel stupid. I've tried everything the world has to offer, and it's gotten me nowhere. I do see now that you love me, God. And that though this is the most foolish, crazy story I've ever heard, somehow my eyes are open, my ears unstopped, my heart is broken, and I see that you love me enough to let your own son, Jesus, die on the cross, be buried and raised from the dead, to offer me the forgiveness of my sins, which I accept, and this gift of eternal life, which I receive freely. Come live in me and through me and change me from the inside out, and use me, Father. Help me grow. I don't want to plead ignorance the rest of my life. I want to know you. I want to know about you and know how to make you known to those around me. Father, we thank you for loving us, for being patient with us, for coming after us. And we ask you to use us this day. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you. richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.